Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k. Welcome, everybody, to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast, where each week we bring you education and information that will help you take your next step in building wealth through real estate. I'm your host, Lauren Wells, and joining me today is Rod Cleef. I am super excited to have Rod on the show. He is going to share a lot about the psychology and mindset of kind of what he's done, what's gotten him to where he is today. So, Rod, I'd love for you to kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. Well, I think introducing myself would be best served by just telling my story. And by the way, let's reframe what you just said. And that is, let me give you some success strategies that'll help you. Forget that they help me, but I promise you they will help you if you listen. So I'm going to tell you my story because it'll kind of basically serve as my bio. So I'm a Dutch immigrant. I was born in the Netherlands, you know, think wooden shoes and windmills, and immigrated when I was 6 years old with my brother Albert, my mother's Vantje, and we ended up in Denver, Colorado, where I lived for 30 years. And I will tell you, we didn't have much growing up. In fact, I wore clothes from the Goodwill and the Salvation Army all the way through junior high school. I remember, you know, eating expired food. We shopped at an expired food store. Believe it or not, they had one back then. And we drank powdered milk with our cereal in the morning. And trust me, it sounds better than it is. But you know, finally, I lied about my age at Burger King when I was 14 because I was tall and got a job flipping burgers so that I could buy my own clothes and prove my lot in life a little bit. And I'm sure you've got listeners that had it harder than I did, but I knew I wanted more as well. And luckily, my mom had an incredible work ethic. So she babysat kids so we'd have enough money to eat and so she could have some spending money. And she actually did really well with it and became a bit of an entrepreneur with her babysitting money. So she invested in the stock market successfully. She did IPOs and she had no formal education, which was made it even more impressive. But she also invested in real estate. So her first real estate acquisition was a house right across the street from us that she bought when I was about 14 for around 30 grand. And then when I was 17, she told me she'd made $20,000 in her sleep, that had gone up in value $20,000. This is back when $20,000 was a lot of money, okay? And I'm like, what? You made 20 grand? You didn't do anything? Screw college. I'm getting into real estate. And so I went and I got my real estate license. I actually got my broker's license right when I turned 18. I could have my own office. They allowed you to do that with education back then. Now they got smart and you need some experience to be a broker. But I was a broker. I was smart enough to go work for another broker. But my first year in real estate, I was still living at home. I made about 8 grand, okay? Second year, I made about 10 grand. Third year, though, I made over $100,000, which back in 1980 was pretty decent change, okay? Yeah. So what happened between year two and year three that caused me to 10X my income? Well, what happened was I met a guy that started my journey around mindset and psychology. I was actually dating his daughter and he was the broker I was working for. And, you know, he told me that really mindset and psychology is 80 to 90% of your success in anything. Only 10 to 20% is the mechanical stuff, the vehicle, as it were. And so, you know, fast forward to today, I've owned over 2,000 houses that I've rented long term. I own thousands of apartment units now in 7 states, over 5,000 units. And, you know, in 2006, my net worth went up $17 million while I slept. And if you want to do the math on that, it's $8,300 an hour over a 40-hour work week, which of course I did because anybody that would hold still long enough, I was bragging to. And, you know, and when you get a big head like that, I thought I was a real estate god, okay? And you know when that happens, God of the universe will give you a nice little smackdown? Well, that was 2008. I lost $50 million conservatively in 2008. And so what I'm known for talking about on my podcast and at my boot camps and whatnot, by the way, I teach people how to buy multifamily properties. I'm blessed to host the largest commercial real estate podcast in the world. We're over 19 million downloads. It's called Lifetime Cash Flow Through Real Estate Investing. And the reason it's been so successful is because of my focus on mindset and psychology. And so, you know, I'd love to give you some of the strategies that I've utilized to really to have $50 million to lose in the first place, but more importantly, or at least as importantly, to recover from losing it. Because, you know, I thought I was set for life. And, you know, I will tell you, people killed themselves for losing less proportionally back in 08 and 09, which is when I lost it, and even in the Great Depression. So, you know, Lauren, if you'd like, I'm happy to drill down on some of those strategies.
Yeah. The question comes to mind, when you lost $50 million of net worth, where was your mindset then? What was your initial reaction? I mean, I can't imagine how you'd kind of...
I thought I was set for life, okay? And I mean, it sucked. Let's just be honest. It really was no fun at all. It was terrible. And luckily, you know, I've been all this self-actualization bent for 20 years. I spent 20 years following Tony Robbins around the planet. I was on his team for 8 years. And, you know, he's the best in the world at repositioning your emotions and redirecting your focus and all of these things, these strategies to take your life to the next level. So I was in a great environment. Okay. And I'll talk about that more in a little bit. But, you know, no, for a while there, I was hiding under a rock with just in my eyeball poking out, feeling sorry for myself, you know. And but then, you know, I picked myself back up. And I will tell you, just, you know, I don't call them failures. I call them seminars. Okay, that was a $50 million seminar, because it's only a failure if you don't get back up or you don't get the lesson. I mean, it was an expensive freaking seminar, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'm a serial entrepreneur as well. I've built 27 businesses in my lifetime so far, several worth tens of millions. I got two that are right now. Most of them, however, have been spectacular flaming seminars, okay? And, you know, we actually fail our way to success. And I'll talk about failure a little more in a minute too. But no, it was terrible when it happened, Lauren. But again, you know, you have to make a decision. You know, pain is going to happen throughout life. Suffering, however, is optional. Okay. And so you got to decide if you're going to continue to suffer. But I'll tell you, the first thing that I did to get back, and this is the first thing I do at my boot camps as well, is goal setting. And I'd have this session, I call it goal setting on steroids, because that's really what it is. Because how do you get anything if you don't know what it is? You got to know what it is that you want. You've got to create hunger. You've got to create what Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich, calls a burning desire. You've got to want it. And so it starts with goals. And by the way, I'll tell you how you can get a great deal on my virtual bootcamp later. But if you're not interested in learning multifamily, my Linktree, I do a goal setting workshop every year on New Year's Day. It's on rodsprolinkspro.com. And at the bottom is my goal setting workshop. There's a guide you can download. I'm not going to try to sell you anything. Here's the thing, Lauren. People spend more time planning a freaking birthday party than they do designing their lives. That's designing your life, okay? And I promise you, it'll take you about an hour. If you haven't done it in the last 3 months, go do it, okay? It's something you should do several times a year. You know, have your spouse do it. If your kids are over 10 years old, have them do it. So again, it's rodslinks.com. There's a lot of free resources there as well. But the goal setting's at the bottom. There's a guide you can download. If you're driving, text the word links to 72345, L-I-N-K-S to 72345. And that's my Linktree. And it's at the bottom there. But anyway, it starts with goals. You've got to have those goals and that burning desire, because that's how you push through fear. You know, that's how you push through limiting beliefs. You know, that's how you get uncomfortable. You know, that comfort zone's a nice warm place, and we all know nothing freaking grows there, right? And so that's how you push through that stuff. And that's how you get back up when you get your butt kicked, which inevitably you will. You're going to get knocked down. It starts with that burning desire. And I will tell you, you know, even if you've only got average ability, if you've got a burning desire, success is inevitable. And so it starts with that, and it starts with that goal setting. And then the next piece is, once you get clear on your goals, why your goals are a must, and you'll see this process I take you through, you define what your whys are as well, because that's even more powerful than the goal itself. But once you've got that done, you've got to make a decision. And the Latin root for the word decision means to cut off. It means when you make that decision, you're not just putting one foot in or one foot out or dipping your toe in the water. It is freaking done, okay? And a great example, a great metaphor for a real decision is if you're going to attack the island in battle, you're going to burn your ships because you're taking their home. That's a decision, okay? It's done. And when you've made that decision, you're 100% committed. And it's like the difference between being interested and committed. If you're interested, quote unquote, you're going to get knocked off track. If you're committed, you're like a freaking train on a track, okay? And it's no longer a dream. It's going to become an outcome. See, motivation will get you started, but it's commitment that'll bring you home. And so that's the next piece, is that decision. And then you've got to take that first step. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King said, you don't have to see the whole staircase. You take that first step in faith, and the next step will be revealed. And I remember when I was young, you know, that shift between year two and year three in my income was I started knocking on doors of people that are in foreclosure. And I could, you know, hey, I'm Rod Cleef. Saw you having some trouble with Countrywide Funding was big at the time. And, you know, I help people when they're in foreclosure. And I bet 500 houses that way. Okay. But I will tell you, those first few houses, that first step was very scary. You know, Lao Tzu said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. But you got to take that step. And that first step can sometimes be the most important step of your life. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I get a lot of analytical people on my podcast, like I'm sure you do. And you know who you are. And I love you. And you know how you have to check off every single box before you make a move. Well, listen, I want you to remember this analogy. You can drive all the way across the United States at night with your headlight only seeing 50 feet in front of you. Now, you know you'll make it. You may have some obstacles, but you know other people have done it before you. It's the same way with this business, or really pretty much any business at this point. You know, and also I see it in my students. We call it the law of the first deal. That first deal takes the longest. They're complaining. It's been 6 months. I don't have a deal yet. Wah, wah, wah. And then they get one. And the next thing I know, they have four. I'm like, what the hell just happened? You know, it's that law of the first deal, scariest, most stressful, takes the longest. But then once it's done, it's like they realize that it's all between their ears that's holding them back. And, you know, here's the thing, though. If you get caught up in that fear of failure, you're going to have regret. And I will tell you, I don't think there's anything worse than regret. There was this nurse in Australia. She was a hospice nurse. So she took care of patients when they were about to die. Her name was Bronnie Ware. And she asked him a question, Lauren. And the question was, do you have any regrets? And she wrote a book about it. It's called something like The Five Regrets of Dying. But you know what the number one regret was? It was not living the life I could have lived. It was living someone else's life. It was not doing what I know I'm capable of. And my mom, proud Dutch woman that she is, thought it'd be a great idea to send me to school in these wooden shoes, okay? And then she also made me wear these leather shorts. These are the actual, this is the actual scene of the crime. We found these in the house when we put her in assisted living. For, you know, they wear these for Oktoberfest. So I got my butt, I found out what bullies were for the first time, and I got my ass kicked regularly. And, you know, and then when she sent me to school and those, I got my butt kicked again. And, you know, I had this story on the playground where I had this crush on this girl, and I made the mistake of telling my friend that I liked, her name was Carolyn. I like Carolyn. So I see Carolyn coming across the playground when I was about 9 years old with what looked like half the school. It was about 20 kids, or it felt like that many anyway. And she comes up to me and she says, do you like mustard? And I'd have said yes to anything because I thought I was in love with her. And I said, yeah, I like mustard. She said, well, I hate mustard and I hate you. And then all the kids laughed, okay? And that doesn't sound like much, but that was hugely impactful on me with the bullies. You know, I came up with this question that I asked myself, which was, how can I show them I'm good enough? You know, which I presupposed I wasn't. And the reason I bring this up is a lot of people have limiting beliefs like that. And I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not analytical enough. That was another one of mine. I'm not, you know, young enough, old enough, have enough time, have enough money. Here's the thing. There's a reason the acronym for belief systems is BS, because 99.9% of them are BS, okay? But we believe they're real. And that's why, you know, one of the things, and I spend a lot of time on this at my boot camps, is tearing that stuff apart. Because, you know, what is fear? False evidence appearing real. I think that's a true story. Some people say it's F everything and run. You know, I love to think that it's face everything and rise. But, you know, we all know that 99.9% of the stuff you fear never happens, okay? And so, you know, it's important that you recognize that, you push through it. And that's why the goals are so important, because that's what's going to get you to get up early, stay up late, you know, push through the fear, push through to the limiting beliefs, get a little uncomfortable, to grind for a few years like most people won't, so you can live the rest of your life like most people can't. And that's how you do it. Then the goals, you got to have them. And so the next piece is focus. Wherever focus goes, energy flows, okay? And I will tell you, I think some of the most successful people on the planet have the highest degree of focus. And whatever you focus on gets larger. So don't get me started on all the crap that's in the news and the censoring and the fake news and all the crap that's out there right now, the political environment. Don't get me started. But just keep this in mind. Wherever you put your focus, it's going to get bigger. And so, you know, you got to be really careful what you're focused on, especially with this current economic environment. You know, a lot of people, there's a lot of fear out there. I'm going to tell you, there's incredible opportunity coming. You know, I got crushed by that wave in 2008 and 9. I'm surfing this one. Okay. I'm in a lot of cash. I'm ready. There are deals coming. And, you know, we can drill down on that more in a minute. But I'm going to tell you that your focus is super important through this period. And that's why your goals are so important. Okay. Even if you're not interested in multifamily, do your goals so that you're focused on those instead of the crap that's on the news. And they're going to make things seem like it's worse than it is. Just remember this. The news organizations are not public service organizations. They are for profit. Okay. They are funded by, we won't go down the political path there, but they are funded by pharmaceutical companies and everything else. But the bottom line is, pay attention to what you focus on, because it's what's going to get bigger. You know, like, I'll get people call me and say, how do I get out of student loan debt? And I'm like, wrong question. How do you make so much money that debt's irrelevant? You know, they asked Mother Teresa if she was anti-war when she was alive. And she said, no, I'm pro-peace, right? Kind of the same thing, but you see what I'm saying. And so, you know, another thing is dilution of focus. Okay. You got to be very careful with this. Like, I remember in Denver when I was getting going in real estate, I started frozen yogurt shops. I had vending carts selling ice cream bars. I had a carpet cleaning business and everything suffered because my focus was so diluted. I got rid of everything except the real estate. And that's when I bought 500 houses. So, you know, I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful with diluting focus. Another thing is minimizing distractions and decisions. If you see me publicly, you will almost always see me in these bone ugly black V-neck t-shirts, because this is, I have 100 of them, okay? So I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear. I minimize my decisions. And I don't know about you, this is another focus piece, but I'll be watching a Netflix movie and I'll be scrolling through social media, which kills your focus, because your brain is making these micro decisions every split second, which is just terrible for your focus. But I'll tell you one last thing on focus. You know, I get excited because my podcast had 19 million downloads, and I listen to two podcasts. One of them is Tim Ferriss. The other one is Joe Rogan. I try to get both sides of the aisle. I'm definitely on one side, but I try to keep an open balance and open mind and try to see both sides of things. And Tim Ferriss's show, he interviews the best of the best in the world, incredibly intellectual conversations, but the best athletes like Michael Phelps, NFL, NBA players, best actors, Arnold and Ed Norton, Hugh Jackman, Jamie, all the best actors, CEOs like Zuckerberg, billionaires like Ray Dalio. I mean, the best of the best. And he deconstructs their success. And I started to hear a pattern, Lauren. They almost all meditate. What does meditation enhance? Focus, right? Focus is a big deal, guys. So just keep that in mind. Then the next piece, especially in the multifamily business, is playing to your strengths. You know, a lot of people will tell you, build your weaknesses. No, build your strengths, play on your strengths. Your strengths are your greatest assets. And in the multifamily space, which is what I teach, you know, there are lots of different hats you can wear. It's a team sport. You're not going to do it by yourself. You're not going to take down a $10, $20, $30, $40 million asset by yourself. It's going to be a team. And so, you know, you can be the person that finds the deal. If you're analytical, the person that underwrites the deal. If you've got project management, asset management, or construction experience, you could be the asset manager. There's just a lot of different hats you can wear, but you want to play to your strengths. You're going to get success much, much faster if you're playing to your strengths. And then what you do is you align, or you hire, or you partner for your weaknesses. And I'm going to tell you, when you're playing to your strengths, first of all, you're going to love what you do and you're going to be good at it. You'll never work another day in your life. And I will tell you, almost success is almost inevitable when you get two people playing to your strengths. And one of the most common dynamics I see is an analytical person with an extroverted person in this business. That's almost always a strategy for success in the multifamily space. I've seen it time and time again. So, you know, how do you find your strengths and weaknesses? You know, do a Myers-Briggs profile, or Tony Robbins has something called a DISC profile, D-I-S-C. It's free online. Google Anthony Robbins DISC profile. You can do it. And it's very, very accurate. Or ask five of your friends. They'll definitely tell you what your weaknesses are, but that's how you find out. So don't live somebody else's life.
I actually think that ask five of your friends what your strengths are. Because
agreed.
I feel that people, I have fallen into this in the past myself, things that I consider just like, this is just easy. This is just what it is. Like, this isn't special to everyone else. It's like, that's like your superpower. Like, but to you, it might not seem like your strength. It might just seem like something you do on the day to day. So I actually, when we talk about strengths, because we do this in our team, and a lot of what you just said really resonated with me personally, because I am partnered with Chris. He is more analytical. I am the extrovert. And
there you go.
Around
there
us,
you go.
We have a team that we built where everyone is type A, high achieving, and we all have let go of ego in order to focus on our strength. And it's created something awesome for our
That's
team,
amazing.
Our investors. But a big part of that was our strengths, finding our strengths. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people when I'm talking to them, if you don't know what your strengths are, go ask five people from different facets of your life. Hey, what am I good at? Like, what do you think of when you think of me? You know, and you will be shocked at how all five answers will sound very, very similar. And it might be
it's good advice.
Simple. So, yeah,
that's great advice. You know, a personality profile will tell you as well, but friends are easy. Yeah. And one thing you said that was really sharp is that you may not know. And I know it sounds crazy, but you may not know what you're great at. And so it's
you might have been telling yourself a story that you're not good at that, or you've been told you're not good at that. So it has been this strength and it's just been waiting to be unleashed, so to speak.
I am so impressed that you said that. That is so profound because we all tell ourselves stories that limit us. Very impressed with that statement, Lauren. Yeah. And I will tell you, you want to change your life, change your stories.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you.
And change who you hang out with.
Well, that, of course, of course. You're ahead of me now. That's coming like after this next section, I think. But when you're doing, playing to your strengths and you love it, you're going to be passionate about it. And influence people requires passion. If you're doing what you love, you're going to influence people because, again, this is a team sport. And throughout life, you're going to be influencing people. And if you're doing what you love, it'll be effortless. Okay. And so, you know, success requires that ability to influence. And if you're passionate, it's effortless. Okay.
Yeah.
That passion is the fuel.
Yeah. And I think that people think, oh, because I definitely, again, did. Oh, that's super cliche. Like if you're passionate about what you do, it won't feel like work. But again, this was pre me playing my strengths. This was me trying to be the best at all these things within a business and not focusing. So it kind of ties into focus, not in just like your subject matter, but also your strength, focusing on your strengths. And I can truly say now that I've really just focused on what I'm good at and leave and offload the rest to the people who are good at what I am not. I do love every day, everything I do. There's nothing coming up and I'm like, oh, I have to send that email or I have to, you know, because it's easy. It's fun.
That's it. There you go. And passion may be cliche, but I can tell you, it's my favorite word. Okay. And Tony Robbins has this quote, live with passion. I mean, I can't think of anything more exciting than to have a passionate freaking life. Passion is the fuel. Don't settle. Don't play small. Figure out what juices you and inspires you. Passion breeds creativity and innovation. It minimizes or even eliminates fear. I love the word passion. So let's talk about peer group for a minute, okay? Because you were alluding to that. And I will tell you, when I was having my ass handed to me in 2008 and 9, I was in Tony Robbins' Platinum Partnership, okay? That's his high-level mastermind. It's about 130 grand all in back then. It's a lot more than that now. But I was around people that were killing it in the crash, okay? They were thriving. They were capitalized on. While I was getting my butt kicked, they're capitalizing on it. And they're like, get up, you puss, 50 million schmillion. Go get up and make something happen. Now, who do you want to be around when the soup hits the fan, right? People like that. So be very careful who you hang out with. See, the problem is most people default to people they went to school with or people they work with. And those people with their own fears and limiting beliefs and, you know, and they may hold you back, okay? You want to be around people that aren't going to hold you back. Trust me, if you show me your three best friends, I'll show you who you are in every aspect of your life. Your health, your happiness, definitely your finances. A rising tide lifts all ships. And so be very, very careful who you allow to influence you. And sometimes it's family, okay, that'll hold you back. And so I'm going to tell you, love your family, but proactively choose your peers, who you allow to influence you, people that'll hold you accountable and push you and validate you. And I'll brag for a minute. I've got a coaching program. It's called My Warriors. And I've been teaching just about a little over 5 years. And they own somewhere between 170 and 180,000 units that we know of. And I'm really proud of that. In fact, besides my kids, I think I'm most proud of that. And most of those deals are done between warriors. And it's because that group just, they validate each other. They hold each other accountable. They push each other. They praise each other. It's just a beautiful environment. So get into an environment like that of people that are going to push you, hold you accountable, make it like Lauren described her team. That's who you, people that think what you think is hard is easy as well. That's who you want to be around. You know, if you're going to play tennis, do you want to play somebody better than you or worse than you, right? You know the answer. And then The next piece would be not giving up, you know, tenacity, persistence, grit, determination, you know, because you're going to get your butt handed to me. You're going to get your nose bloodied. You're going to have things happen that cause you to get your pick yourself back up like I did. Lost 50 million. And it's that strength of character, strength of will, you know, bravery, backbone, fortitude, toughness, that tenacity. It will beat talent every single time. Okay. You know, there's a book called 3 Feet from the Gold about this miner that gave up 3 feet from becoming a millionaire. Tenacity is power. You know, it's getting knocked down 99 times and getting up and kicking butt on the 100th, you know, keeping your eye on the goal. I think the last really big piece I want to talk about is problems and failure. You know, like I alluded to it earlier, but we really fail our way to success. And problems and failure can really be a big gift because they give you feedback. You know, the only people that don't have problems are 6 feet underground. You know, I got to meet the billionaire owner of Spanx, you know, the woman's undergarments, Sarah Blakely, beautiful human being anyway. But, you know, she told me that her dad, I met her at her mastermind. That was my formal education, masterminds, boot camps, things like that. I never went to college, but I met her at her mastermind. She told me that her dad used to ask her and her brother on about a weekly basis, what have you failed at this week? And I thought, what a freaking awesome question to ask
You're
your
the
kids.
Second so they don't person feel that has said that on the podcast, mm-hmm. or actually I was on another podcast. And
no
this
kidding.
Woman has 4 kids and she says, I'm going to go on a tangent here, but she said her oldest, she saw this, and this is very true. I'm an oldest. I can attest to this. I've been around a lot of my oldest is like this, but you see this like fear of failure, this perfectionism, this need to like do everything correctly the first time. And she said, once she saw that in her oldest, although the rest of her kids didn't have that same problem, you know, that she started asking them weekly at dinner, I think even more than that, like, what have you failed at today? And I think that's interesting. Yeah. And I think
I would ask your kids that question. My kids, I unfortunately didn't hear that till my kids were grown. They don't listen to me anymore that much. But what an incredible pre-frame to have your children think about so that they don't get caught up in fear and they push through and they're not afraid to fail. Like I said, I've done 27 businesses. Most have failed. So what? I still had a roof over my head. You know, I will tell you, I was almost homeless once, but that's okay. I didn't die. So the last thing I want to...
What do you think was the commonality between those businesses failing? Other than focus.
I never went to college, number one. Okay. So I don't know that there was a commonality. Focus was definitely one of them for sure, because I'm doing some therapy right now. And the guy says I have high functioning ADHD. So I didn't, that was a shock. I'm like, are you kidding? Really? So I don't know. You know, honestly, I never had any formal training. I didn't know how to read a P&L. I didn't know what a business plan was. I just went out and did it. Okay. I was a fire ready aim guy. Now I've partnered with, you know, CPAs. I partnered with a guy that's done $6 billion in assets, super analytical. I mean, almost mind numbing when I hit my head against the wall analytical because he takes his time so much with stuff. But, you know, that's what I needed to balance me out. And so that was the realization. I think the other thing, big mistake I made was I hired to try to save money rather than try to hire the best people I could find, regardless of what they cost. And that was a big revelation for me.
It'll cost you in the end.
Always. Businesses are nothing but two things. They are systems and people. And if you get the systems down and you get the right people, success is inevitable. And every business is nothing but innovation and marketing. That's a Peter Gruber quote. But the last piece I want to mention, it's a little fluffy, but I think it's super important. And that is gratitude. You know, gratitude's the most important foundational emotion that we have. It makes us stronger when we face adversity. It strengthens our immune system, makes our heart stronger, and lowers our blood pressure and brings us closer to our spirituality. But the reason I want to bring it up beyond all that great stuff is that it's how you bring what you want into your life, okay? I manifested all these things in my life. You know, like I have a morning ritual. I will sit and I'll do gratitude for, you know, the people that I love. I'll do gratitude for my students, my foundation. And then I'll do gratitude for the things that I want as if I already have them. And I will sometimes get emotional being grateful for things I don't even have yet. And I know I lost some of your analytical listeners on that one, but this is how I had 50 million to lose and how I got it back. So ignore it at your peril. And the last piece here is, you know, when I was young, I knew I wanted to live on the beach, okay? And there's no beach in Denver. And 20 years later, I built this, what's now about a $30 million place. It was $8 million at the time, mansion on the beach. I had the beach on one side, I had my boats on the backside. It was called a Gulf to Bay, spectacular home. I mean, giant waterfall from the second floor balcony to the pool. You had to walk through the waterfall to get in the pool. Pools in magazines, a wine cellar, elevator. On the second floor, I had aquariums built. I had this big spiral staircase up through the middle. I had aquariums built around the spiral staircase. It cost me almost $200,000. So this gives you an idea of the house. Well, it took me 20 years to build this thing. Okay. I worked for it. I manifested it. You know, I used to visualize the palm trees and the surf, but 20 years, 2 months after I moved in, I'm floating in the pool at night. I'm looking up at this testament to my ego, which is really what it was, to prove that I was freaking good enough. You know, I asked that question, how can I show that I'm good enough? That was to prove it. And I got depressed. And I don't mean a little depressed. I mean, I got really depressed. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I had the cars, I had the boats, the jet skis, beautiful family inside sleeping, amazing home. How could I possibly be depressed? And I want to leave your listeners with this. And then you can hit me up with questions. But I had been, well, there were several things happening. One was you should never achieve a big goal without having other goals lined up behind it. Because, you know, you need a vision for the future. Like the good book says, without a vision, the people perish. I didn't know what I was going to do next. So that was a big piece. Second piece was, it's never about the goals. You need them. You got to have them to push through and have that burning desire. But, you know, they say the happiest days of a boat owner's life are the day they buy the boat and the day they sell the boat, right? And it's really, the goals are short-lived, but you got to have them. But the biggest piece was I was totally focused on Rod. Show the world I'm good enough. Show the world I matter. And that's the year, first year I saw Tony Robbins, actually. This was 23 years ago. And I saw that he fed families for the holidays. And I'm like, what a concept. Do something for someone else. I'm embarrassed to say I had to be 40 to get that memo. I'm 63 now. And so I called my brother. I said, let's feed five families, because I was going to go see him in Denver for Thanksgiving. I said, let's feed five families. He called his church, found five families that really needed help. Third family changed my life, Lauren. We go up to this house, this woman in this one crappy one bedroom with five kids, Hispanic woman, and we bought toys for the kids and food and everything else. And she sees all this stuff on the porch and she starts crying. Her kids come out, two of the older ones start crying. I start crying and I'm freaking hooked. And I'm blessed to say, in the last 23 years, we fed somewhere between 130 and 140,000 children here in Sarasota and Bradenton, Florida. We've done tens of thousands of backpacks filled with school supplies. We've done tens of thousands of teddy bears to local police departments for their officers to put in vehicles if they encounter a child that's been in a traumatic situation. In fact, I just did 400 yesterday to the Sarasota Police Department. You can go on my social, you'll see it. And I don't say this to brag. I say this because in our society, we've been taught to achieve to be happy. Like, we shouldn't be happy until we've achieved some measure of success. And this is going to sound like a play on words, and it kind of is a little bit, is if you are giving back or making the world a better place, you're happily achieving. And I'm going to tell you, success comes so much faster. I hope you believe in that dynamic as well. What you give, you get back like tenfold. And so, you know, I would encourage you to figure out, Tony Robbins calls it the science of achievement versus the art of fulfillment. Achievement's a science. If you want to learn multifamily, get your butt to my boot camp. I'll tell you how in a second. But it's a science. There's a blueprint, there's a map. You just got to go do it. You know, that's it. There's no secret sauce there. You just got to go do it. But fulfillment is an art. You got to find out what juices you. For me, it's kids. Maybe for you, it's animals or the environment or the elderly, whatever, and give back right now, because then you'll be happily achieving and the success will come faster.
I agree.
Thank you. Let me pump my boot camp for a second, yeah, if I
so
can.
If people want to get in touch with you or sign up for your program, tell us some more about it.
I've got a virtual boot camp. You can do it in your underwear at home. It's January 6th and 7th. If you use a code I'm going to give you, which is 7E, you can come for a whopping $97. And I don't sell anything there. So it's like 16 to 18 hours of training, nothing being sold about multifamily for $97, like a no-brainer, okay? And I give until it hurts. And that's why I'm successful, because the people that give the most get the most. And that's just a dynamic I work with. You're thinking, well, for 97, what can I get? Well, I'm going to tell you, it'll blow your mind what you get. It's going to be drinking through a fire hose. So if you're interested, go to rodslinks.com. At the top is my bootcamp website. Use the code 7E to get that 97 price. And like, we go through every aspect of the business, you know, building a team, finding deals, raising money for deals, syndication, joint venture, financing, underwriting, property management, you name it. If you go to that, there's a bootcamp website is on Rod's Links. You go to the bottom of that, you will see hundreds and hundreds of glowing, unsolicited, glowing testimonials about the quality of what we put out. And so anyway, it's Rod's Links, or text the word links to 72345. And just remember the code 7E and you can come for $97. And I promise you'll be glad you came. If you don't love it, I don't mean like it, I mean love it, I'll give you your freaking $97 back after you attend. No problem. Never happened, but there's a first time for everything.
Love that. And we will link the code and everything in the show notes. So everyone, thank you. I feel like this was I resonated a lot with a lot of what you said and wholeheartedly believe a lot of what you said as well. I've seen it kind of unfold in my journey. So thank you for joining us today and everyone for listening to this episode of the CWS podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show, and leave us a review.